Please remain standing for the reading of the scripture, Psalm chapter 116, verses 1 through 15. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walked before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, men are all a vain hope. What shall I render to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you so much to our ensemble and to the youth choir. You have outdone yourself today. God has blessed us through you on this misty, All Saints, very reflective and solemn moment that we gather to remember the saints. Fran, thank you for reading our lesson today. Psalm chapter 116 that she read from is actually a part of a collection of songs called Hallel. The word Hallel in the Hebrew means simply praise. Hallel is the root of another word that you know very well, Hallelujah, which is a way of saying praise God. The J-A-H is code for Yahweh, the first three letters in the name of God, Hallelujah, praise to God. It's interesting that Psalm 116 is often referred to as the Egyptian Hallel. The praise in Egypt. It is a Jewish prayer that is still to this day recited verbatim at the Passover as a praise to God for God's deliverance of the Hebrew slaves from Egyptian bondage. It is also likely the very song referred to in Matthew chapter 26, where during the Passover on Maundy Thursday, after Jesus served the Passover meal, verse 30, Matthew 26 says, and they sang a praise song, Hallel, and then they went to the Mount of Olives. It was probably this collection that they sang at the table. The last line that Fran read for us in Psalm 116 is especially appropriate to this day. Precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. Do you know the name Fred Pratt Green, an English hymn writer? He died in October of 2000 at the ripe old age of 97. He was born in 1903. He has been called the greatest hymn writer since Charles Wesley himself. Charles Wesley wrote 6,500 hymns, can you imagine? Over 50 of them are in your hymn book. The interesting thing about Dr. Fred Pratt Green is he was a United Methodist pastor who dabbled in poetry and in music, but at his retirement, he became prolific. He began, really, his writing career at the age of 66. At age 74, in 1977, he was commissioned to write a song for All Saints. We sang two of those verses in our response a moment ago to the passing of the peace. I want to recite the whole hymn. Rejoice in God's saints today and all days. A world without saints forgets how to praise. Their faith in acquiring the habit of prayer, their depth of adoring, Lord, help us to share. Some march with events to turn them God's way. Some need to withdraw the better to pray. Some carry the gospel through fire and through flood. Our world is their parish. Their purpose is God. Rejoice in those saints unpraised and unknown who bear someone's cross or shoulder their own. They shame our complaining, our comforts, our cares. What patience in caring, what courage is theirs. Rejoice in God's saints today and all days. A world without saints forgets how to praise. In loving, in living, they prove it is true. The way of self-giving, Lord, leads us to you. I love that hymn. I love the recurring line. Did you notice it occurs twice in the lyric? A world without saints forgets how to praise. I believe that's true. When the church forgets the faithful examples of those who have come before us, we become inarticulate in our praise. We become incoherent in our worship, in the language of Hallel. Is it just me, or have you noticed that we live in an age where I'm afraid we have become more fluent in the language of complaint and criticism than we are in the language of praise? Jane Wagner, who was a comedic writer for Lily Tomlin, once said, "I personally think that we developed language because of our deep and inner need to complain." You say, well, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and that's true, but sometimes the squeaky wheel gets replaced. We're fluent. I was reading a while back about a church in East Tennessee over in Knoxville. It's a Catholic church. It's called Our Lady of the Sorrowful Heart Parish. Our Lady of the Sorrowful Heart Parish. The priest, according to this story, had grown so weary of the grumbling of his parishioners that he started a new society, a new order. He called the chief grumblers to become like hermits, to dedicate themselves to unceasing prayer. He said to the church, the best thing you can do with a complaint is to take it directly to the one who can do something about it. And he is calling the new order by this name, the Sorrowful Heart Hermit Helpers. The acronym is SHH. And he's getting some takers. The native tongue, the native language of a saint is praise. Our young people led us in that today. Isn't it true that we best reflect the image of God when we worship, when we speak the language of blessing, when we baptize, when we affirm, when we exalt, when we praise? It's no accident that in the traditional order of worship, it begins with a call to worship, and then a hymn of praise, a processional hymn of praise, an affirmation of faith. The Gloria Patri, glory to the Father, we sing. The doxology, the very root in the Greek, doxa means praise. Even the benediction is a blessing of praise. That's the language of a saint. God is, after all, the author of praise. In the book of beginnings, in Genesis, after each phase of creation, God speaks words of affirmation, days 1 through 5. It is good, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good. On the sixth day, he scoops up a handful of dust and shapes it and breathes life into it and says, this is really good. It's the language of praise. We get it honestly from our Maker. The psalmist says in chapter 22, God inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, God resides in this community when we worship. God dwells within us when we praise. Our first service to God as disciples is worship. That's why we refer to this as a worship service. And so I think Dr. Green was right. A world without saints forgets how to praise. But if that's true, I think the reverse of that is also true, don't you? A world with saints knows how to praise. So what is a saint anyway? Typically, when we think of the saints, what do you think of? I think of those who have gone on before us. I think of those who have passed on, who have gone on to be with God. And that's partially right. Or maybe we think of, when we talk about a saint, those who have been canonized by the church or beatified by the Roman Catholic Church. But the term saint is so much bigger than that. In fact, whenever Paul mentions the saints, and he does so 44 times in the New Testament, in his epistles, whenever he mentions the word saint, he's talking about living beings most of the time who are a part of the body of Christ, who are part of the church. The Greek word for saint is hagios, which means set apart. It means that you are different from the world. It means that you're peculiar, that you're holy. A saint is not a person who never sins. A saint is a person who never stops doing good. Mr. Barclay, who wrote the commentary on the New Testament, said a saint is someone whose life makes it easier to believe in God. I love that. In the wonderful creed that we recited, we affirm, don't we, our faith in the communion of saints. What does that mean? It is the spiritual connection, it is the spiritual communion of the saints, both the quick, as we say it, the living, and the dead. Those in earth, those in heaven. The church militant, that's us, and the church triumphant. The communion of saints, it is a mystical bond where Christ is the head and each member contributes to the good of all. It's interesting to me that the origin of all saints goes way back in our history. In the first 3 centuries of the gospel movement, many were persecuted and martyred because of their faith in Christ. In fact, the Roman government turned hostile early on towards the Christian church. In the Greco-Roman culture, atheism, no belief in God, was okay. Or polytheism, belief in many gods, was all right. But monotheism, belief in one God, they considered offensive. It is ironic, isn't it, that in the Greek language, the word witness, which is our word, and martyr are the same in the Greek tongue. To be a witness for Christ is to risk your life in certain ways. It became tradition early on in the life of the church to celebrate the anniversary of a martyr's death with an all-night vigil. They would go to the tomb or the shrine where the disciple was martyred, and they would pray and they would praise all night long. And as the sun came up, they would celebrate the Eucharist, they would receive Holy Communion, and they would experience the communion of the saints, living and dead. As early as the 3rd century, there was an official day called All Martyrs' Day, wherein these brave souls were remembered for their refusal to deny their faith, even in the face of death. The traditional date, first of all, was the Sunday after Pentecost, and then later was moved to November 1st. The night before All Saints or All Martyrs was called Hallows Eve. We call it Halloween today. It's Hallows Eve. It was not a night for ghosts and goblins. It was a night for saints. And a part of the liturgy for all martyrs in the 3rd century included the Hallel. Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. Let me give you an example, and then we're going to call the names. On February the 15th of this year, there was a video released of 21 Egyptian Christians who were seen kneeling on a beach in Libya, dressed in orange jumpsuits. Behind them, black-clothed ISIS attackers stood ready to do their deadly deed, to perform execution. The crime of these Coptic Christians was their faith in Jesus Christ. They'd been kidnapped and were being used as propaganda to promote fear and terror. There was a news source in Canada who discovered that one of those 21 men did not belong in that group. He was neither an Egyptian, nor was he a Christian. His name, Matthew Ayerga. He was identified by friends and family as a native of Chad. He'd gone missing a month before. He was not known to be a Christian. And yet moments before his death, the ISIS extremists demanded that he follow Islam, and Matthew promptly rejected the command. Apparently, this young man from Chad had witnessed the faith of these Coptic believers in captivity, and he made his decision to follow Christ. We know this because on the video, when the terrorist asks him, "Do you reject Christ?" he says, "No." And then he said, "Their God is my God." And with that, they took his life. The video was supposed to inspire fear, but it did not. It inspired courage. And today, when we hear the name Matthew Ayerga, we identify him as one of the saints. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "Do not fear those who want to kill your body, for they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both body and soul." Precious, costly, dear in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. A world without saints forgets how to praise, but a world with saints remembers. It is our native tongue. We believe in the communion of the saints and in the life everlasting. And so this All Saints morning, we will name the names of those set apart, holy, who today are a part of a great cloud of witnesses. For a world with saints knows how to praise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.